His attitude is even going to be a little more direct in the idea of, I don't really care that this isn't good for society. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. Either way, the results are the same. Because either way, the individual, by whatever standard, is going to impose his own arbitrary standard on all of the other individuals in the country. And what you come to realize then is that no matter what the nature of the government, no matter how the Constitution has been written, no matter who's elected to office, no matter what the makeup of the office is, there is only one individual in the entire country who can be satisfied with the status quo. There's only one person that can be happy with the arrangement, and that is the man who has the most power, and even then he may not be satisfied. It's just that he's got it closer to what he could conceive of as an ideal government than anybody else. Because of the nature of the force that's involved in thwarting the desires of individuals as the essential nature of this agency we call a government, it is impossible to conceive of a situation in which more than one person could be totally and completely satisfied with things as they are, with the government as it is. Now, an individual can say, I like my government, I love it, I pay taxes because this is the price I pay for the civilization I get, and all of this sort of profound wisdom. But the fact of the matter still is that when you pin him down and you ask him what he thinks about this program or that program or this person in office or that person in office, or if not that, then at least acquaint him with certain things about the government that he didn't know because he had only looked into it superficially, you are bound to find many, many areas in which this individual is not satisfied with things as they are. He would prefer to improve them. Now, all of this comes, of course, from the nature of force, because in voluntary exchanges, it's very easy for two people to profit because profit is relative. So if happiness or profit is relative, then obviously mutually profitable exchanges are possible. I give up one thing for something else of greater value, but this doesn't change in any way the fact that the thing you're giving up is of lesser value than the thing I'm giving to you. But where force is involved, it becomes necessary that any two people who deal with each other on that basis are bound to be on the one man's gain is another man's loss position. Because force is, of course, a thwarting of desire. So who has the most force? Who is the most powerful between the two? Who is able to on balance, be able to apply the force against the other individual and frustrate his desire? And if his desire is frustrated, obviously the exchange will not be profitable. Now, some people, of course, feel that all of this is well and good, but it doesn't change the fact that you still have to take it as it is and try to control it to the best you can. And so they undertake large-scale programs to try to harness government to some extent and mold it so that it will at least be closer to their desires and that it will at least be less coercive to this individual personally than it would otherwise be, and so on. I think that you could probably give a whole course full of nothing but examples of ways that individuals have tried to do this without success. Perhaps the most beautiful example, and also the perhaps an example of the statement too that none is so blind as those who will not see, is the election for state superintendent of schools 4 years ago. Was it? Yeah, 6 years ago now, first time it came up. And Max Rafferty was running for, it was 1962, I guess. Max Rafferty was the great white hope of the conservative faction of the state, and he was the one who was going to reform the public school system, et cetera, et cetera. And he got into office, and the first thing he announced was that the schools were not getting enough taxes, that more taxes would be, of course, the first and foremost thing that had to be done. Now, this didn't seem to bother a lot of the people that supported them, and I guess it's consistent that it didn't, because during the campaign he was already saying to the people who were touting local control that one of the problems was that the local school districts were not getting enough money from the state, that the percentage being paid by the local school districts was too big and by the state too small, and he was going to rectify that if he got elected. So I guess if they wanted that, then they wouldn't mind the fact the first thing he said was more taxes. Well, 4 years later, nothing has happened in the school system to please anybody, even those who supported him, including such things as this argument that has taken place lately over the land of the free, which was capped off by some dictator in the state saying it doesn't matter if you don't like the book. Every local school district will buy the state's books, whether they want them or not. And it doesn't matter what the nature of the books are. That's the way it is. And, of course, this fellow who said it was Max Rafferty. And so now, as people open their eyes and see the futility of what they've done, they realize that perhaps their course of action was not right. So now they're going to run him for United States Senator. Now, you can apologize for him all you want.